magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 14th, 2020, and I survived the board meeting, Jason. Actually, it was a wonderful board meeting. We had most all of our board members there other than the two that are out of town. Phil Shepard's up in the Chicagoland area, and then Dr. David Dunn, he's in Missouri. And then John Jennings was with Kathleen, you know, getting her looked at and such. So the rest of the board was there and engaged and active. And about three and a half hours of great conversation, celebrating what God has done in the past, what we anticipate he'll do in the future, goal setting and thinking through what's the next steps, how can we continue to reach people for the Lord, proclaiming the good news message of Jesus. And now that we have these 19 stations, these frequencies covering all of central Illinois and into west central Indiana, you know, how can we effectively unify everyone with one ongoing message, the educate, edify, evangelize. And coming up in October, the WLUJ family of stations, which is nine frequencies covering, if you will, the western end of the state, the central part. You know, they'll be having a share-a-thon, and how is that going to all work? Because Great News Radio has never in these 25 years had a share-a-thon. And so, you know, we have some goals and figuring out budgets and number crunching, and then finally saying, okay, Lord, you know it all. You know the end from the beginning. You know the needs. How can we communicate that in a way that will motivate and involve listeners and meet the needs and end the year right? So a lot of good prayer went on and just good conversations. Thank you, God. All of our bills are paid to date, and there's still a little money in the bank to pay the bills that will come in this week, this month, and we're just kind of grateful. So it's usually a celebratory time. And then I walk everyone through, I give the president's report, the update on all the ministry work, or lack thereof, because like the singing men weren't meeting, the theater troupe isn't meeting yet, they might relaunch again, the children's choir isn't meeting right now, the English conversation classes have stopped for a while. The big news that I guess I'm going to announce it now, but the Pennsylvania trip that was all planned out the end of September into October was 6 days, 5 nights, because of some of the closures, you know, in Pennsylvania, the Liberty Bell and some of the things and activities that we were going to do. We're now changing it, transitioning it to a 5 day, 4 night trip to Branson with various shows. And Missouri and Branson is still pretty wide open and available to attend some of the various shows and concerts. And so we're going to send that out probably today, the announcement and the change. And so there's still some openings for people that want to join us to go to Branson for 5 days. And it's really, it's a state-of-the-art trip and great accommodations. And it includes the meals and the shows and some visits around Missouri and Branson area. So we'll say more about that. I'll have that posted. I'm working on that today. So you can go to our website and learn more. But yeah, this COVID-19 has shifted a number of things, but some things just continue to go on. Thank you, God, that our broadcasts are reaching thousands, tens of thousands of people. The Prime Life Times paper is still being printed, and we talked about that on Wednesday, and continue to get great feedback. People are enjoying the paper, and I was with my small group yesterday, and for some, the COVID-19 hasn't changed much because they're still going to their job. They have their routine. It's different, but it's somewhat normalized for them because they have their set routine. And that's like me. I'm probably working harder than ever, but, you know, there's always things to do, things to record, studio guests, follow-up, emails to attend to. And so it's been all hands on deck, and we just keep moving forward and moving forward into this book of James. I guess we're almost into a couple months of studying it verse by verse, word by word, a great text that God has inspired through the penmanship of James. The Holy Spirit kind of used his personality and his background experience and his knowledge of Jesus and yet also, I don't know how you say it, superimposed or helped him or equipped him to write the things that God would want us all to know so that we can know God better, that we can serve faithfully, and like what we talked about last week, if we need wisdom, we can ask God for wisdom because he delights in giving it to us, and he gives it generously. And so today we'll probably start right almost where we left off last week, and I'll read from James 5, maybe going down to verse 11, and it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business." Oh, I don't know, Jason. There's some kind of paradoxes. There's some examples that are mysterious maybe a little, or maybe if we know the Hebrew or the intent behind some of this, it hopefully will become clear. But I have a few questions, even though I've read this many, many times, as I look at this again. Wow. So let's walk through this. How about praying up our program for people that are maybe this is the first time they've tuned in, or they're unfamiliar with the book of James, or what is Mark and Friends? Pastor Jason Schiffo, he's the Community Evangelical Free Pastor in Mahomet, Illinois. He's been a part of Mark and Friends in this radio ministry close to, 8 years now?
At least eight or nine years.
He's helped out in a variety of ways. We've done various interviews with special guests, authors, artists, musicians over the years. For the last year or so, we've primarily just had Pastor Jason on Fridays, and he loves God's Word. He loves to divide it, talk about it, finds points of application, and then help us connect with God, who loves us through the Lord Jesus Christ, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we can walk faithfully and be good ambassadors and disciples of Jesus. So that's one of Jason's passions, and so I love to have him walk us through passages of Scripture or books of the Bible or themes. And so, I don't know, a couple months ago, I just got really inspired by James, and I think I told you this like 3 or so weeks ago. I can't even remember what the catalyst was that I was so passionate about James and said, "Hey, how about we do it?" And you said, "Sounds great to me." And then 3 weeks into it, I said, "What was that passion?" I can't remember at the time, but it's a great book. It's God's Word. And so thank you for being available on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends.
Yeah, well, I just have to say at the outset that some of the questions I know you have, because you've mentioned to me before, we're probably not going to get to, because this is a slow-moving boat.
Yeah.
You know, and James has a lot to tell us in what he writes here that I think we really need to look at, we need to dig into, because we sometimes have some misconceptions about how we approach God and how we talk to God and what we expect from God and what we think about what God is going to do, especially we experience those during the best of times.
Mm-hmm.
But what James is talking about here, remember in verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So James is talking specifically about going through difficult seasons of life, difficult situations. And when we do that and we have that kind of heightened tension, none of us know what that's like right now.
Yeah.
But you have that heightened tension, you tend to approach God differently, expect differently from God. You tend to have kind of an inability to be patient where God is concerned as he works out his will in and amongst us and around us. And we also tend to come to him and ask him things in such a way that doesn't glorify him. And so James says here, "But let him ask in faith." And so we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean?
Hmm.
Because he says if any of you lacks wisdom, and we talked about that, wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And so always as Christians, our prayer should be that our ideas come from God, that he reveals them to us through his Holy Spirit. He gives them to us through his word, where he reveals his character and historically how he has worked in and amongst believers historically, all the way from the beginning up until now. You know, we have his word and we have the great cloud of witness. And then how do those things work themselves out? And that's the application. That's the wisdom. And so he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, and that's a rhetorical question. James is saying all of us lack wisdom.
Right.
All of us don't understand godly application, which is duh. Because what we tend to do, we tend to do based on what we want, what we need, what we think is right, what we think is good, what we think is the most profitable. And the problem with that is that we are the center of the universe, not God. And yet, but we exist to glorify God. And so we need godly wisdom to guide what knowledge we have, even that knowledge that comes from Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, which is, yep, all of us, let him ask God. Why? Because we want to go to the source of the one who is revealed to us and who has given us those ideas. And he says he gives generously and without a reproach. So when you come to God and you say, God, I've been reading in your word and I see this. What does that mean? God is going to reveal that to you. But by the way, understand that that's a dangerous thing to do.
Hmm.
Because when you start asking God to correct your thoughts, you're going to have to give to him. You're going to have to submit to him your thoughts. You're going to have to submit to him the fact that you think you actually have a better way than he does. You're going to have to submit to him the fact that your ideas, as good as you thought they were, they really weren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Or your ideas maybe lacked grace, or they maybe lacked forgiveness, or they maybe lacked all kinds of humility, all kinds of things. But you come to God and you ask, and he gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. And we said that that's a perfect kind of gift that God gives you, because that's threefold giving that God does in that passage, right? He gives generously, he gives without reproach, and it will be given to him. Three ways this little verse here tells us that God is going to give us, which in the original language is an exclamation point saying, listen, if you come to God and you ask for this wisdom, he is going to give it to you. Now, in that, we also need to pray that we'll have ears to hear, because isn't that what Jesus says when he addresses those churches in Revelation? All those churches that have all kinds of issues, he says, listen, any of you who have ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I think God gave us two ears so that when he says, anybody who has ears to hear, we go, ears? Oh, one, two. You have double the opportunity to listen to what God says. And so there should be no one who can say they're deaf to the ways of God or what God is speaking, unless, of course, we are not listening. So our prayer should be for sharp ears to hear what God is saying. And then James moves to, but let him ask in faith. Now, here is what James says you have to do. You have to ask in faith. You can't simply just ask. You know, there's a lot of Christian prayer that is asked without faith. I mean, I've heard prayer like that. Maybe you and I have even uttered prayer like that, Mark, where we've come to God and we've asked him to do something, but really in our heart we think it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
We think, there's no way this could possibly work out. There's no way. This situation seems hopeless. This situation seems absolutely overwhelming. I've known a lot of people who have come to God, and they've admitted, I went to him and I asked him because he was my last resort, but I just didn't think it was going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the kind of prayers that God is talking about here, let him ask in faith, is coming knowing without a doubt that God can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. And some of us have some really good imaginations, and God can still do more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so let him come and ask in faith. Now, what does that mean to ask in faith? Well, I think a couple of things. And so I'll just outline them, and I've got some examples I think that'll help us to understand that. But I think that faith comes and asks with the assurance in what God has already said that he's going to do. When we read God's word, there are things that God has already said that he's going to do. How many times as Christians are we fretting about what the future looks like? And yet, God has already shown us what the future looks like in his word. He's given us the end of the story. And yet some of us still act as though we don't understand the end of the story.
Mm-hmm.
But God has given us the end of the story. Now, in the book of James, James says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. That's James 5:17. And so in this story of Elijah, James tells us of a time that Elijah prayed He prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain in the land for 3.5 years. But if we look at where this happens with in Elisha's life in 1 Kings chapter 17, we also find there in the passage, it says, after a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. James goes on to say that then Elijah prayed for rain. He prayed for rain, and the rain came. And so Elijah prayed in what he was sure that God was going to do. Why? Because God's word came and told him that he was going to do it. God's word has come and told us all kinds of things, and if we just read it, we will have the assurance of knowing what God is up to and what God is doing. Romans tells us that Scripture is written what? For our encouragement and our endurance. Scripture is to encourage us that the God of the universe has not forgotten about us, that his promises hold true, and that he already knows the beginning to the end, and he has presented it to us. It's also written for our endurance, so that we will have the assurance to know what is going on in the midst of it and what we're to do and what God is doing, what he desires for us to do. So when we come and we ask in faith, we have this assurance knowing what God has already said he would do. Now, faith also comes and asks when we don't know. It submits itself when we don't know, when we have no idea how it's going to work itself out. You know, there's no promise in Scripture that says any of us are going to get anything that we want. In fact, it says in that great passage in Romans that we love to always quote in the beginning, you know, that God works for the benefit of those who love him. And we go like, yes, that's right. God is always doing good for me because he loves me. But the last half of that verse says, and who are called according to his purposes.
Mm-hmm.
Which means what's being worked out in your life is not necessarily according to what you desire and your purposes, but always to his purposes. Now, we know when we read his word, his purposes are good. But sometimes, oftentimes, good doesn't look good in the middle of it. Amen, Mark?
Right, yep.
Good doesn't look good. There's nobody in the middle of COVID who's going, good, this is good. And yet, I talked to people just yesterday and the day before who are telling me about some of the blessings that came out of this as
right.
They reflect back during that time of quarantine and say, you know what, my family and I, we got closer. You know, my family and I, we spent more time together. You know, I was actually able to refocus on what mattered most. And I couldn't believe that there were blessings in the middle of all that, and I didn't see it while I was going through it, but God gave us what we needed. And so we come and we pray with the assurance of what we don't know. We ask with the assurance of what we do know, and then we pray with the assurance of who God is. And that's one of the things that I think that we think the least about. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, you know, just pertaining to everything that's going on, they're like, I just don't understand why it happened. I don't understand why this has happened to us. And I said, you know what, I don't understand why it's happened either, but I do know that God allowed it. And they say, what do you mean? Why would God allow COVID? I said, well, if he's sovereign, then you only have three choices.
Mm-hmm.
He either allowed it, he could have stopped it. You know what I mean, Mark? I mean,
right.
God could have done all of this. I mean, he's sovereign. He's in charge of all of this. And so there's some reason why this has happened, and there's something that we're to learn out of it. He's bringing us through something to create in us something new.
Yeah, I like when we sometimes will say, nothing can happen outside of God's permissive will. And so he didn't just say, hey, Jesus, let's create COVID-19. However it was started, he said, hey, Jesus, we're going to work through this. This isn't taking us by surprise. There's going to be some real neat, unique things. People are going to draw on me. Some people are going to come to faith. I mean, he uses that, but, you know, he didn't create evil, but he works through evil things. And I think, yeah, the COVID-19, I've had the same where Tom Brown yesterday was saying, wow, it really has allowed me to not have to go into the office every day. Working remote has opened up opportunity to be with family, to not have to get dressed up and get all set and then race in and do this. A lot can be done from home, which is relaxing me. He said, I don't know if I can return to the same kind of environment and working the same way, now tasting this peace, this relaxation, this. And he said, so COVID has really opened up my eyes to other things, and I thank God for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so coming and asking in faith means that when you know, when you don't know, when you're unsure, when you're absolutely sure, when you're oblivious to what's going on, you come and you stand on the steadfast ground of who God is and what God says. Now, this elevates. This means you have to spend time with God. This means you have to spend time in His Word. This means you have to listen to what the Spirit says. This elevates the Christian life. Asking in faith doesn't simply mean to pray. It elevates the Christian life and how we approach God. And we need to make sure that our prayers and the way that we talk to God contains the content that believes all things about God. I love Charles Spurgeon's prayer. He says, you know, dear friends, there is a way of praying in which you ask for nothing and you get it. And so we have to be careful that that is not us. In fact, James goes on to say, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of a sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So he says, listen, if you don't ask in faith, you are a doubter. Because if you come and you are not standing on the steadfast ground of who God is, what God has done, what God will always do, His character that has been revealed, what His Spirit says, all of those things, then you are doubting in some way, shape, or form what God is, and you're not asking in faith. You're not asking in the absolute kind of faith. I mean, I would challenge the listeners right now, when James says that Elijah was a man like us, he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't, and then he prayed that it would, and it did. Do you believe that you can do the same? Now, I'm not saying that in some sort of magical kind of way, but the Bible is very clear to say that Elijah was a man like us, that there is no difference between who Elijah is and who we are, except the way that Elijah approached God and asked.
Pastor Jason, you're getting fired up, and we're going to have to continue this in verse 6 next week during Mark and Friends. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. We're going to continue right here next week, James chapter 1, verse 6. Thank you for dividing God's word with us, being excited and passionate about these very words that He wants to bring to all of our hearts and minds, to bring hope, to bring conviction, to rest in His grace, His mercy, His goodness, to reveal His character, to point us toward the Lord Jesus Christ, all good things that can be gleaned out of God's word. And thank you, Pastor Jason, for being passionate about God's word, studying it, and allowing us to find points of application and insights into our own life. May that be true of all of us today as we look to God's word, as we attend church, so that we grow to love God more and get to understand Him through His word. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.